I guess it like really does just get your attention, but it also feels of a certain time.
Yeah. We're talking about Carlos Aguirre, aka MC Infinite.
Yo.
Y'all don't know, that fool's got bars.
Really does.
Dude, and he's super multi-hyphenate. He's like definitely somebody we'll have to get on the show eventually.
Oh yeah. I called him once.
Oh, on like a live stream.
Yeah, yeah. I think he dropped an album, and I was having this idea of like celebrating my friend's victories. So I called him on his cell phone, and he's like, "That's it," you know. And I was like, "You're alive right now. I'm recording." He's like, "Oh, what's up?" And I just asked him questions about the album, nice. And then I ended up playing his album on a live stream for a little bit.
Is that the same era where you did a review of Lighthearted and you gave me that video?
Yeah, I think so.
That was a great video. That got me juiced. I was like, I need to drop more albums.
Clearly, it's just two rappers that I'm like, yeah. Because I didn't call any other people.
Nice. We made it.
Because I kept thinking about it. I was like, you know, it's hard to do that radio broadcasting when it's like your friend and they may not know or they're not prepared or, you know, and I'm like, I don't want to put them in that position. They're not me. Like, I think if you called me at any time and I happen to answer, that just means I'm ready for anything.
Oh, nice.
Usually, I would say. Davi's writing this down.
He's calling you right now.
Yeah.
Tassi?
Oh, hey. Oh, my phone's buzzing.
Oh, yeah. He's ready.
I'm ready.
Speaking of that, we're ready to talk about grants today. I am David Morales. You can find me everywhere at Active Poet.
And I'm Tassi Alabastro. You can find me everywhere at Tassi Alabastro. And this is
Art Time Job,
a support podcast for working and aspiring artists by us, working and aspiring artists as well. And coincidentally, why are you laughing?
Because this whole podcast that we shot a year prior, I've been saying follow me at Active Poet. But like, now, because I'm working on two social media. Oh, man. What a turning point.
What a twist.
Oh, man.
We'll get into that in a second.
Yeah.
This is fascinating. But part of the journey.
It hit me.
Part of the journey.
It was like discovering it on the line. Like, we do an acting. Yeah. I was like, oh.
So, for context, Dov and I had this discussion. This is the second time maybe we talked about it, but would you like to share with our listeners here the dilemma you're currently in?
Yeah, let's talk about it while it's happening. We did have a social media episode. Everything I said in there, I stand behind. But now I'm understanding that for the people who know me, friends and family, they're okay with me doing any and everything and understanding it in one page. But for you, who's brand new maybe to understanding me, I should probably divvy up my content. So when you're following me, maybe you like my voiceover stuff. And maybe you're following me because you're an aspiring voiceover artist. And then you're like, oh, he also does commercials and theater stuff. And that's still within the realm. But then if I start sharing my music stuff, you're like, oh, okay. Especially as much as I post my music stuff, you're probably like, I might get you intrigued to be like, oh, he does so many things. It's cool. Or you might not want to follow me because I'm mixing up the content. So my current dilemma is I am separating my Instagrams. We're Active Poet, which I've been saying for this whole first season. You can follow me for music. But if you want acting and, you know, voiceover, anything in the acting realm, skits, tips, advice, David Morales is where you can follow me there.
Wow. That's a hard choice, man. I've been there.
Yeah, I know you have. And you currently, like, the Clicksmith, which is great. The modern Clicksmith, which I love that account.
Yeah, that one specifically for photography. And despite it being part of my personality and, like, artistic vocations, I just thought, like, maybe I'll separate it because I want to explore photography deeper in a different way.
Yeah.
And that exploration might not be worth it to some people.
Yeah.
Right. And I think it's down to that. When I'm thinking about you kind of taking your stuff apart, I'm like, you know, it's both good and bad. Bad in that, like, you've got such a wealth of material there.
Yeah.
Right. But good that as you start to specialize in both, you can actually just go deeper then.
Exactly.
In the other one, right?
Exactly.
Like, for example, my acting one, I've already in my mind made up that, like, that is such a big part of my life. It's not necessarily my identity, right? But it is a big part of my life. So what does that mean? It means that like what you'll see on my personal page and slash acting is the sort of seasonal thing. We're like, oh, okay, like if I'm scrolling down, like, oh, this must be like winter time, or this must be this, or
yeah,
Tossie's not in a gig right now.
Yeah.
This is all personal stuff. And I don't really do any tips there because that's not really that thing, right? But in photography, that will go into like deeper stuff of photography. Like,
love that.
We have a shoot later for streetwear,
oh, yeah,
merchandise stuff.
I'm rocking some if y'all are paying attention to Go With The Flow. It's been out. I don't know if it's still out by the time you're watching this, but today we're shooting the merch photos for it. Maybe we'll put some on the screen. Bah, 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 bah,
what yeah.
Like, it was crazy.
And that's fascinating to me, right? Because on my end of things, that type of photography is much more different.
Yeah.
Like, I had to listen. I always have to listen to you.
Yeah.
Yeah. But no, but like on the spot, I'm going to have to, one, look at the environment, two, look at the time of day. I guess that's environment. Get a gauge of you and the other person who's joining us today, like what that chemistry looks like,
yeah,
and what that, for me as a photographer slash viewer of the streetwear, what is having one person versus having two people on the frame,
yeah,
create, right? It's like, right, it's a whole like chemistry on that whole thing.
Also, me and Tossie did this Theater Bay Area conference this past weekend, and I was wearing one of my hoodies because I'm like, why do I create merch? I want to be my own billboard, and I want to wear it all the time. Mm-hmm. And Tossie was just like, you know, stand over there. And he started taking pictures, and they turned out fire. Let's put them on the screen right now.
You for actually those, could use those, huh? That,
well, I'm using some of those.
What, oh, okay.
We are using some of those. They're on the screen right now for those who are watching, oh, this. But yeah. That's why I was like, oh, Tossie's the guy. He's the guy. Like, I trust your vision, your art, and whatever happens. I mean, we did some for Steven's brand.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Those are on screen now, too. Wow. Such a visual episode.
I haven't even shared those. It's funny enough.
Well, hey, they're seeing them now, those who are watching. But yeah. Yeah, yeah. I think something also, the last point I'll talk about social media before we get into grants, because I know y'all want that information, is I think it organically allows people, when you separate all the things that you do, it organically allows people to like you for different things and find out and enjoy your multi-hyphenate self. So like this podcast, right? So if you guys really enjoy like us just giving you gems and like our personalities, if randomly in your suggested scrolling, you see like your dope, like walk along photography, be like, oh, I like this content, and be like, that guy also does this. And
oh,
they're
yeah.
organically discovering, like, I did like photography, and I like this photography guy. I didn't even know he had this podcast. And it allows people to, like, understand the complexities of you.
Yeah.
And also, you're creating different businesses where the modern clicksmith might get hired to, you know, shoot a Google event.
That'd be kind of neat.
But Tossie Alabastro is in a play in Broadway, or might get brought out to Comic-Con, you know?
Yeah,
so different parts of you are, you know, it's more, as you said, focused and deep.
I have a question for you, though, and I don't know if that you've encountered this. Oh, yeah, actually, I feel like you have. So sometimes I'll get into a situation where people forget, either like sort of acquaintances or longtime friends forget that I do one thing and the other.
Yeah.
Right? Like, because I'm focused on like photography, for example, they're like, oh, that's right, you're an actor. Do you get that? Like,
Of course.
How do you mentally kind of like navigate that as a response?
You know, now I'm in the perfect space for this where I think it's okay for that unless they're my target audience. If they, I don't mean to make friends and family be like, oh, you my audience, kind of like business all the time, but I'm okay if they don't know all the things that I do, because they know one thing that I do.
Right.
And that's good.
If it's just one thing. Okay. Yeah.
But if they're talking about like photography, like remember we were yesterday when we were doing the gig and you met that guy, Anthony, and he was like, your photography's dope. Remember he was like,
pictures. Yeah. Yeah.
So I think in that point of view, you're like, you meet another photographer, maybe you're like, maybe that's how we connect.
Yeah, right. Like, he knows me as a photographer now.
Which is cool.
Yeah.
And as you guys get deeper in your relationship, or, you know, you guys hang out more, or he gets more into acting because he's a young aspiring actor.
Oh, is that who that is? Oh.
Yeah. He's also a young aspiring actor.
Yeah.
So maybe he's like, oh, you also act like, he's going to learn more about you. And that just becomes deeper into your connection, deeper into your well, And that's okay. I think, you know, if people just want you for that one thing, that's okay to fill their void.
Right, right, right. Ooh, you are, man, these are gems. Know? This is a gem.
You know? Yeah. You, just because they only know you for one thing doesn't mean that's all you are.
Yeah, that's true. This is a great example, as I'm thinking about it now, of it really is like navigating the arts career.
Yeah.
Yeah. What you just said there. I feel like I just kind of, whatever I just said here didn't make any sense. But
no, you made
But in my mind, it totally clicked because, yeah, like you don't have control over people's perception of you.
No.
That's they're gonna, they have that, and you just have to kind of do your best and enjoy that, I guess, right?
And that's why I think I'm okay with having the courage to start a new account from zero and building it up, because the world wants to put you in a box. Mm. So give them that box, but don't let them know that's your only box.
It makes me think of Planters. Have you seen Planters?
Yeah, exactly.
It's a big box, but within that box, they're little tiny, like different plants in there.
Here's my succulent.
Yeah.
Here's where I grow strawberries.
Right. Like, oh,
here's,
oh,
here's
yeah.
Here's a whole
yeah.
bunch of stuff that, like, but you might come just for the strawberries. And that's okay.
Sure. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it's all one ecosystem.
Right.
That I'm crafting, you know?
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
Image. Images on images.
Yeah, you started it, bro. I just, sanded, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Back to this. We have Tossie here, who's my grant guru.
What?
Yeah. But okay. If it wasn't for you, we've said this in an earlier episode, I wouldn't have got my first grant, which has definitely
jazzed you up.
Jazzed me.
Yeah.
Gave me, like, I think the courage to keep applying for grants, because the first grant that I applied to was the Lee Weimers grant. Mm-hmm. I remember being in Cafe Stritch and seeing like a sign for it, and I was like, the first time, right. I'm like, I'm gonna go for it. And that same year, I didn't get it. You got it.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like,
wild.
Wow, Tossie got it.
2019.
I was like, I know Tossie. All right, well, maybe I can win it too.
That's exactly what I want to inspire other people. If I can do it, you most certainly can do it.
And that second year, I almost applied, and I was like, you know what? No. And we were actually driving home from Red Ladder, our job, and it was the day it was due. I think we got home early-ish from this day because we had time. We had time.
It was due at 5, and we got back to San Jose at like 2.
Yeah, so I think one of the workshops got canceled.
I think so.
The universe was just talking to me that day. And Tossie was like, did you apply for the grant? I was like, nah, I'm not going to. And he was like, come over. You're going to apply to it. You're going to, whatever help you need, I got you. And we sat down for those 2 hours and 46 minutes because it was like right before it was due. We ended up getting it done, and I think that was the year I got it.
It was.
And it was Tossie's push, you know? When you first don't get it, you got to keep applying.
Yeah.
Because it might be like the introduction of who you are to this council, right?
Yeah. What I've... Well, first of all, thank you for sharing that story. I really do enjoy that story a lot because it lives so vividly in my mind. But I want to backtrack just a smidge.
Go.
Because something you said earlier is finally like resonating with me, and that's organic discovery about like who you are as a like artist. And it makes me think of, as artists, as we navigate through different social circumstances, how like, oh, you might want to meet someone, but sometimes you can't force that meeting. And you just somehow have that meeting, right? Like if you just put it out there that you would like to meet this person for this X reason, that organicness of it when it happens is so much more powerful. Like going back to the TBA conference that we went to, I know you met Lauren Gunderson for the first time in person.
Oh, man.
I did as well, briefly. And also met photographer Cheshire Isaacs, who does a ton of photography in theater in the Bay Area.
Is that who you were talking to at the end for a while?
Yeah.
Oh, nice, nice.
Yeah, and I'd been admiring their production work for a long time. I see their name everywhere. And finally, it was just like, this is the moment. Oh, this is when we were supposed to meet. And I happened to take a photo of him, and I sent it. And he's like, "This is really good.
Oh, nice.
Like, this is a great example of when I tell people that, when I tell clients that they're when they try to say they're not photogenic." And he was kind of reversing it on me. Like he might think that about himself, but he saw a photo of himself that was like, "Oh,
yeah."
And it was such a quick moment.
Yeah.
But it only happened after the conversation. I didn't take it like, "Can I take?" He was like, "Hey, you know, good to meet you. Let me take the snap." And I think the same thing can happen digitally as artists, right? The organic discovery.
Yeah.
Like, oh man, I just like this came up on my feed and like, oh they also do this. Anyway. Okay. Crumbling that in my mind.
I have hella questions for this topic. So spew everything that you have about grants. Go ahead. Give the people what they came for.
Is that what they came for?
That's what they came for.
Grants. All right. That's right. That's right. And the title of this episode might just say grants.
Yeah.
Grants are still relatively new to me. It's incredibly challenging to, one, if you're starting out in the arts, find them.
Yeah.
You need like a whole, you know, network of people sending you grants just to make sure that like, oh, this is real.
Yeah.
That's always how I feel when I read it. I'm like, oh, is this real? Like, what I often find as busy artists is that you get a grant, you see the deadline, you see what the grant's about, and there are a couple of things happen, right? You're like, oh, I really want to apply for this, but it's due next week.
Yeah.
And that has happened more times than not, I think. And, you know, to that end, I feel like every time that you learn something new in your career, every time that you get something or not get something and have some kind of like tangible evidence of that, you need to like start curating that work.
Yeah,
ASAP. I think ASAP, like you got to put it somewhere. I wish I was better about this with my like taxes, like, oh yeah, put this receipt here. I'm much better with like my actual work. I'm like, okay, you know, I've documented that I'm doing this panel, I got a receipt for that. I have evidence of that I did that.
Yeah, probably already said this before, but Tossie has like his photos like by the year, by the month, by like your name. I'm just like, what? He has this crazy archive. It's amazing. Keep going.
Yeah, thank you. That took a long time to figure out.
But it's beautiful.
Yeah. And I'm not an organized person by nature. I think just I hate the digging of something up more than I hate organizing.
I love that. I love that. And I think I'm growing to be that person well.
Yeah. Like you like day by day, you're like figuring out like, oh, you know, I'm put this aside.
As soon as I do social media work for other clients or whatever, I'm just like, what's off my phone? I like airdrop it to a folder onto a hard drive. I'm like, delete it off my phone. I know where it is.
That's amazing. Yeah. I love that. And also using technology, AirDrop.
Yeah, got to. Shout out Apple, sponsor me. Keep going.
So
were talking about where to find them. You said you need a resource of people. If I'm just a new artist, that I'm like, Google grants. What would I go?
I honestly think the first thing that might even come to you as a new artist is like, I don't deserve it. It's less about the more I think about grants, the more I realize it almost is less about the technical aspect of finding and applying. Mm-hmm. It's more the mental resilience to jump that hurdle of like, no, I'm going to apply because I deserve this type of thing, right?
X amount of money. And it's already hard for, I think, most artists to like think we deserve that $5,000 or like to ask for $5,000. Mm-hmm. And like when these companies are like, what are you going to use it for? And you're like, should I tell them that like, I just want a new laptop?
Why does it feel shameful, right? Like
I think our whole career, we've been told like, you're never going to make it as an artist.
Yes. It's two things, right? It's that you're never going to make it as an artist. You should plan for a plan B.
Yeah.
And you should be grateful for whatever you get. And I feel like that's kind of the, you know, topical, what actors in SAG are, I think, facing, right? Like corporations saying you should just be grateful for that you're even getting to do this job.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Like that's the argument part of it is like, you should just be grateful. Like take the negotiation, take the whatever they're giving you. But that's not the point. We're looking for longevity and like livelihood for future generations.
From the same people who love going to movies. Yeah. And like when the pandemic was there, y'all were like all on Netflix and Hulu and all this stuff. Like
streaming on the rise.
Yeah.
Streaming and rideshare.
Man, the same DoorDash. People were like, shut up and dribble. Why don't you shut up and type?
Huh? Oh, yeah, that's right. That's the thing too, huh, in sports. Yeah.
Shut up and dribble.
Shut up and I have heard that.
Yeah.
But there are resources that you can find. We'll make sure that, you know, as you're listening to this podcast, whether you're watching it on YouTube or seeing it on Instagram, whatever it might be, that we'll have it in the description. A couple of links.
Yes.
You know, if you're in California, California Arts Council is a great resource.
Yes. I love them.
Yeah. To discover it. There's the CC
CCI.
And then depending on which region you're in, you should really definitely look into who's in the arts council in your district or your region. And that could be a little challenging at times, maybe daunting, but I guarantee you, if you are an artist and you're starting out and you're getting into the community, I think I watched one of your TikTok Instagram videos where you said, if you're looking to get into a specific art, you know, it would behoove you to get into that community and be around those people.
Yeah.
And I guarantee you that you'll be around people who are like you, who are also seeking, but then you'll also be around people who have been there long enough that they've found it.
Yeah.
The hard way or an easy way.
Yeah, yeah.
But they are also likely willing to share that with you as a new artist.
Yeah. I would say too, I'm not the grant expert, but I just thought of this as you were speaking. People who have won grants before, it might be cool to reach out to those people and be like, yo,
absolutely.
Hey, every time you're reaching out to somebody, I will say this, please follow them and then send a message, because it's a weird thing of like somebody asked me for advice and they're not following me. Mm-hmm. It just deters me a little bit. I'm like, you are asking before just giving something, a simple give of just like, if you unfollow me right after.
Yeah, yeah.
I think just the effort.
Yeah.
I'm like, hey, I appreciate what you're doing. I'm asking for something.
Yeah.
And at least you're helping me in my like, I need my social currency.
For me, that's happened to me. For me, the exception is when they say, may I email you?
Oh, because then you have their email address?
Yeah.
Do you have like a running email list?
Sort of.
Okay.
That's all not right. As well curated. I wish it was better.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, but I'm like, oh God, that's so many emails and so many other things I've added.
Yeah, but the thing I was saying is just like reach out to artists who have won before. Like if you see like, especially... SV Creates and also the Lee Weimers, they always post like, oh, these are the winners, like reach out to them, like, hey.
Yeah, if you're I mean, I'll speak specific, and I guess you and I can both speak specifically about the Santa Clara County, because both of the grants that David and I share are from this region, which is the Lee Weimers Emerging Artist Awards and the SV Creates Content Mag
Emerging Artist Award.
Yeah. And both of them are unrestricted grants. And for those of you who don't know what that means, it just means that the money that they give you is really up to you to use in any way you see fit. Now, I think you'll encounter more grants where there is sort of an assignment.
Yeah.
It is for a reason. Like you must create something, et cetera, and has a public viewing, whatever, right?
And budgeting and all that stuff.
Yeah. So... the unrestricted grant is neat because it really can go for like, oh, I need to upgrade this, or I need to you know, pay a rent, and that's fine, and they encourage that.
My car, like whatever it is,
help you continue doing the art that you want to do,
with less stress.
Right. I wish there was more of it and more frequent, but
that's
what we're working on. To David's point about asking people, I guarantee you that previous winners or recipients, I don't want to say winners, but recipients, awardees, I guarantee you none of them are going to gatekeep that information. They're more likely to be excited that someone even reached out to them about that. And if you reached out to me, I think, you know, I'll ask you like, what is it that you're interested in, et cetera. But I've also put together webinars.
Yes, he has.
Yeah. And there's one specifically for the Lee Weimers that's live right now on my YouTube page. And it really is like a work along. And the structure of it is that I want to ensure that other participants or applicants don't feel alone in the process.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah. And part of it was inspired actually from when we worked together.
Oh, from the story I said earlier?
Yeah, and that like,
that's great.
There's something to be said about when you're in a room with someone just as hungry and motivated, that there's like a 2% charge that you're going to feel that too.
Yeah.
And so regardless of if you're in a room in person or in this case on that webinar, you know, this one of the participants from the webinar ended up being a awardee. Shout out Alicia.
Yay.
And that was great to see, right? And, you know, I got word back from specifically this grant, the Lee Weimers, that this is the first year that they've had, like, over capacity.
Oh, I remember you telling me that.
I was like, great. You know, like, the efforts are there.
I don't know if I'm allowed to say, like, the deadline pushing thing. Can I say it?
Yeah.
All right, this might not serve every council, but I heard that usually when they say they're extending their deadline, that means there's not that many applicants.
Or they want to see a wider variety.
Yes, 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 yes.
So, you know, what does that mean? It could mean that, like, maybe they get 10 applicants, but they're all visual artists.
Yeah.
And maybe they want to see, like, a dancer or, you know, a mixed artist or whatever.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Which is cool.
But, yeah, definitely jump on that.
Very inclusive.
And I want to segue that to the Theater Bay Area grant that I applied for recently.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's the Artistic Leadership Residency one. And
how much?
Well, hang on. No. I think it's like $12,000 to do like a project with a partner theater. But listen, I didn't get it. Spoiler alert. That's not the important part. The important part was that the programs person there, I won't name any names, but they had emailed me directly a week before their deadline, I think it might have been. Their like scheduled deadline. And they didn't say anything. They just forwarded that to me. And that alone was enough for me to apply and like get my stuff together in a week with the theater of choice that I wanted to partner with, right?
Oh, nice.
And so it was like a lot of effort to make sure everyone's on the same page, that we're all creating, that we're all uploading before the updated deadline. So they updated the deadline, I was not awarded this year, but out of the, I think there was 10 that applied, only one got awarded versus the year before where 4 people were awarded. So there's definitely some weird like funding thing with the state or wherever it is they're getting it from. And that's that thing of like, oh gosh, you know, there's money out there. We just need to figure out like how to funnel it and make sure it gets to the people who can make use of it in a productive way, right?
That's cool. You had a 10% chance of winning. I mean, hey, bro.
Yeah, I had fun putting my stuff together.
Yeah. Speaking of that, let's go into putting your stuff together, because I know that was one frustrating part that I had when we were uploading the stuff, that sometimes on these grants, they won't accept like the file size you have. Right. And I was like getting frustrated. I'm like, they're lowering the quality of this just to upload it. And I'm like, I hate it. And I had to go on like free low res like filers.
I realize that things like that are enough to deter someone from finishing their application.
Yeah.
Because for context, the Lee Weimers is using a program called Cafe Entries. And that's a nationwide platform where you can actually go sign up and look for applications that might even like fit something that you want to do. You want to do a documentary about like your family and like what that's like. There's probably some money out there for that, right? Yeah. In this case, their system is not tailored to this specific grant that David and I had applied for, the Lee Weimers Emerging Artist. So when you look at it, it's confusing because you're like, wait, but my photo isn't this dimension or whatever. But you have to realize, like, in a lot of these, they're servicing a lot of visual artists who have paintings. And so that needs to be a certain way, right? So if you're in theater, for example, or some type of performing arts, and you have production photos, that may not always be in the same resolution or dimension. So what I ended up doing for David in that case was he sent me all the photos that he wanted to upload. I got a canvas that is that dimension, and I just threw it on the canvas because then it fits the requirement.
A digital canvas, not like...
Right. I do have one of those right here.
You do. Can I ask you more questions about this? When it comes to people applying for grants, like for me, I'm blessed to be multi-hyphenate when it comes to being an artist. Mm-hmm. But sometimes in theater, there's not that many pictures that we get, production pictures.
Yeah.
So what type of pictures do you think best serve you when you're applying to your grant? Is it what matches what you're talking about? Like, hey, I want to do this type of work and I've already started. Or like, I'm this person. Mm-hmm. Is it good for a variety? What do you think?
Having applied for a few, I would say follow the prompt that they give you as far as what they want to see. And think one of the biggest deterrents, but one of the biggest pitfalls of applications are when an artist wants to just show you their whole selves.
Mm.
And which actually, funnily enough, ties back to our topic earlier.
The social media.
Social media of having like, this is my acting page. This is my, you know, whatever, music, etc. I think there's definitely validity of having like, this is who I am in all of it, right?
Yeah.
That's why my website, that's who I am. Everything's there.
Yeah, yeah.
In an organized way.
Right.
Because that's my...
That's what I plan to do with my website as well.
Exactly.
Be like, whatever you want, yeah. It's all here. Yeah. And let me guide you through this.
That's literally my real estate, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's my property.
Yeah, yeah.
No touchy. And so the Lee Weimers one, it's limited in how much you can put in there, which is both good and bad.
Yeah.
I'll state it in case it's not as obvious, but it's good because like, oh, I don't have to like type as much or I don't have to like upload as much.
Yeah.
It's bad in that like if you're the type of person where like you need to let everyone know, all of you, mm-hmm. you're going to have a challenging time. One, getting it all in there. But two, if you don't become the recipient, mm-hmm. it's going to hurt your feelings.
Yeah.
Because it's so personal.
Yeah.
Right, so when I say follow the prompt, if you're a voiceover act, let me ask you a question. When you're a voiceover artist and you get your sides,
yeah,
where do you start reading?
You already know where I start. Wherever the page starts, where it's like, oh, character breakdown.
Thank you, right there. You don't go straight to the lines, right?
No.
You read top to bottom.
On occasion, if I'm out... And I'm like, oh, I just got an audition.
Yeah.
I will see how long it is. just to know, like, just to see, like, yeah. Oh, this is paragraphs for sure.
Sure.
But I won't read the lines first.
Right.
I will always read the breakdown, where the scene is.
You want to get a general sense of direction, right?
Yeah, of course.
So in the Lee Weimers, it'll say, like, show us your work. Your work should speak more about you, whatever it is. Because they only give you 500 characters.
Yeah.
So you're like, that's not a lot. That's a website. So what I've noticed is that if you don't have a whole lot of production photos and you don't have the time/resource to reach out to those photographers who may have taken it, mm-hmm. which, by the way, you should already be doing after the fact. Some of them will give it to you for free. Some of them will have to charge you, whatever the case is. Do it for what you feel is good at that time. Then my advice is to just make something.
Oh yeah.
And I say this because I submitted something that I made that is a monologue that I did, and that demonstrated so much more than like
at the liquor store one.
Yeah. Nice. That one video, I've already gotten feedback. I asked for feedback. Even though I was a recipient, I asked for feedback. I was like, what stood out? What worked in that application? Mm-hmm. And they're like, that video you made really propelled your application because it was such a great demonstration. It was 2 minutes short. It was like, oh, it's like an audition, really.
Yeah.
It really gave our panelists who are not necessarily steeped in performing arts a better idea of, one, who you are by your choices, but also like in action.
Yeah.
Right? So... Which leads me to my next tip. I think you can ask who the panelists are for some of these.
Yeah.
Get it, if you can, this is reaching out to previous recipients, right? If you can get an idea of who your panelists are going to be, you can better tailor your application. You're not lying to anyone. You're just making sure that it communicates the best of you to someone who doesn't know you or your work.
Yeah.
And if they do know, if they do know you and they do know your work, it can also be an example of like validating what they think, their perception of you. It can be an opportunity to show them something new about you. Something they, oh, wow, they got range, you know, like they can do acrylics and like, you know, Japanese calligraphy, whatever.
Nope.
But you really have to stick to whatever the prompt is in a way that makes sense. So I want to speak specifically for theater arts because, we don't always get stuff that we can share, right?
Yeah, hard. We can't film that stuff.
You can't. So take a monologue, take something that you maybe it is a monologue that you did in the show that you were in, whatever. The rules are different there. Record it, you know, how you would an audition. If you can't produce it yourself in that you can't find a location and whatever else it might be, then do it in the best the best you can at the best at that time.
Yeah, do like a self-tape setup.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah, I will say the two times that I have won those grants, one, the first time I applied, I remember hearing back from one of the panelists who was Lisa at City Lights. And she was like, are you going to apply again? And I was like, ah, I don't know. And she was like, I read your one last time. She was like, it was good, but you're all over the place.
Okay, yep.
And she was like, I know you do a lot of things. Focus on one. And I was like, what do I focus on? She was like, I know you're doing a lot. She's like, what are you doing right now? I was like, well, I'm trying to release a song a week on SoundCloud. And she's like, talk about that.
Yeah.
Talk about music.
Yeah.
And that was the one you helped me with. And I got it because I was just focusing on music. I did in the bio say, I'm this person. I do this and I do this and I do that. Mm-hmm. But then I grounded it in like my love for music.
Yeah.
And the same thing for the SV Creates one. I was talking more about my focus on teaching, being an artist, but also like it was a heavy focus on acting. And I talked about Red Ladder because I got the recommendation from Karen. So I was like, okay, improv. I was talking about on TikTok how I teach people, how I got into voiceover. And I was just very much rooting that one into acting. And there was a little context on music, but it wasn't a lot. It was just music helped me transition to voiceover because I invested in that equipment. So
you gave the reason for the multi-hyphenateness.
Exactly. Yeah. And how it led me to these things and where I want to go. But yeah, being specific on, I do all these things, but I'm talking about this.
Yes, correct. Yeah.
You can share that, but like, what are we talking about? What are we asking for?
Yeah. I think in my mind, I had this image of, you ever go to those stores that have different grains in a little or coffee or whatever?
Yeah, like Whole Foods.
Yeah, and then you like, I want to funnel this one.
Yeah.
So think of it like that. Do you want to funnel it to? What bag do you want to funnel it to? And you got to try to fight the urge to like, I'm proving that I'm multi-hyphenate artist, like, and that's why I deserve it because I put X amount of time. That's not going to get you anywhere. Well, it'll get you pain and heartache, maybe.
Yeah.
And like doubts, but yeah, the more that you can kind of focus on what the prompt is, what they want you to communicate to them.
Yeah.
So reread that moment. You know, don't gloss that over, and really put it down on paper. You know, like that's what I'm of. Who are you? What's your identity? And if you were to take that identity away, who are you still?
Yeah.
Right. And so I think when you're new to the writing about yourself.
It's hard.
It's so hard. It still is. So I think it always continues to be challenging in different ways, right?
Yeah, I will say something you said prior was a lot of times you get grants and you don't have much time to write them. But if you do have the time, please take the time because they take a long time to do. You can cram them. There's been so many grants that I've written and I have my girlfriend now helping me. Please get help if you guys can get help. Yeah. But we've stayed up to like midnight. And it was just like for like the next day, getting it done before time, like just getting them done. And although we did it and we had those memories, I never want to do that again. Never. If you have the time, something that I learned from CCI was if you have the time and let's say you get a rough draft of your grant and you're like, I don't know about these couple of things. There is a lot of times where they recommend you can even call the funders.
Yes.
And you could see like ask questions because usually you'll get tips on like what they're looking for.
Yeah.
That way, like obviously read the prompts, get the direction you're going for. But if they do have the funder's information, you can ask.
What's the worst that could happen, David?
They don't answer.
There you go.
Yeah. Well, what's the best that can happen?
They answer. Man. And then they spend a little time with you.
Yeah.
And that might even be more worth it in the long run than it is for like your short term, like applying.
Yeah.
Right. You run into them in the street or you apply later again. Maybe you didn't get it that year, but they know they've had a conversation with you and they see that adjustment from that starting point to where you are now.
Yeah.
People want to see potential. People want to invest in you because they see potential in like what you can do with them, for the community and yourself as an artist.
Yeah. And how much are you willing to like put in for this? Because I feel like it's the same thing that we do for rehearsal, right? Mm-hmm. Rehearsal is not for you to practice. Mm-hmm. It's for you to practice the things you practice at home at rehearsal, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So in that same way, like, don't call them being like, hey, I'm thinking about applying. What should I do?
Yeah, right.
Have a rough draft ready to go.
Yeah.
And those be like, yo, I'm talking about this, because they'll probably ask you about it. And if you're not prepared, then right. you kind of wasted the phone yeah. call.
Right.
You want to be prepared in that conversation. There's a question I had about grants that I wanted to ask you, Tossy.
That's okay. Yeah.
Well.
Oh, you know, I will say this, specifically for the emerging artist ones.
Mm-hmm.
One of the biggest things I've heard, or most common things I've heard, is I don't have enough stuff. I don't have enough this. I don't have it. Think about that for a second, and think about your relationship / definition of the word emerging.
Mm, yeah, facts.
That's one of the things I asked early in my webinar. It's like, what does emerging mean to you? So you have to contextualize the efforts and the work that you do in your career life, right? So emerging can be, oh, you know what? I spent 30 years doing photography, but this year I started taking acting classes, started doing voiceover classes, started doing stage readings. To me, that means you're an emerging artist within the performing arts field.
Facts.
And so if the grant, the prompt, whatever it is that comes with that, aligns with that, then I don't see why I couldn't award that person an emerging artist grant.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have like two pictures and maybe like a reel. Okay. That's awesome. Perfect.
Yeah.
I don't expect you as an emerging artist to have like an exhibition every other week that you're able to like, oh, you know, I was at the De Young. I'm like, I don't know if that's emerging anymore. That's like just a little bit past, or, you know, mid-career, or even.
But
you
know. I would say for people who haven't gotten grants, like, you know, we were emerging in our career when we got them. But I think some people in the community might be like, oh, I know Tossy. Oh, I know David.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But the panelists might not.
Right.
So for them, we might be an emerging artist. Like, oh, they've been in the scene for 5 years,
mm-hmm.
but we've never heard of them. Mm-hmm. So I think you can be emerging in the community being like, this is where I'm at today.
Yeah.
But I still have aspirations to go places. It's yeah. not like I've reached it all. So right. I think both. One, you could be like, I've only started acting yesterday,
mm-hmm.
and I just have pictures from this class that I did. And mm-hmm. still get awarded. And I still think there's also like,
mm-hmm.
yeah, I've done some crazy things in acting, but right. like I'm nowhere near where I want to be.
Yeah.
And I think there's you can fit in that bubble. What I realized, what I wanted to tell you, is I think a good thing about grants, one, it will get you to talk about yourself. I have my girlfriend help me with mine, because it's really hard for me to talk about myself.
Yes.
And from that, each grant, of course, they're tailored. They're all a little different, but from that, I now have a mission statement, and I now have like these things to talk about myself that make it really easy for websites and stuff like that for me to already have, oh.
Talking points.
This is myself, and going into other grants where it's like, sometimes the questions are very similar for other grants, and sometimes mm-hmm. you just have to adjust a couple of things, but at least I have the body
yeah.
of a lot of yeah. these things done.
No one's going to be like, oh my God, you plagiarized yourself.
Yeah.
It's you. How do you do that?
I play myself all the time. Come on.
Yeah, I'm on repeat.
Yeah. That's a tip of like, when you're done writing everything, put it in a Google Doc and like save it.
Yeah.
Save all your stuff. Don't just submit it.
I feel like I have 80% of my bios that I've ever written for like playbills and like panels.
Yeah.
And like all the, this is a part of curation, right? I have like all the links to the articles
nice.
From like what was written about me.
That's great, bro. That's a next step.
Well, because I took like screenshots of like San Jose Mercury News, mm-hmm. right? From applying for something in the South Bay, Santa Clara, that's relevant. Or if it's in like, I have stuff from the Chronicle, like, oh, look, I'm like broaching other regions. You know what I mean? But I do want to quickly say shout out to our partners for spending that time with us. Not everyone applying may have that, but you have to know, you have to at least look around, take stock of who, what?
You're talking about our romantic partners. I was like, do we get sponsored halfway through? I was like, I didn't get the text. I was like,
I looked we're away. Sponsored? I looked away for a second. So I whoever's editing this later, please let's like zoom on. I want to see that face.
I was like, when did we get sponsored? I was like, our partners.
No, our romantic partners, I guess, who have a multitude of talents themselves.
Oh.
And one of those talents is to see us for who we are and who we are as artists and be able to assist us with putting those into words. Because I'll speak for myself, I'm terrible with writing. I'm not a strong writer.
Same.
Yeah. So, you know, for me to say, okay, I'll write a paragraph as best I can describing my work, and then to have Sam copyright that, look at it and go, okay, what are you trying to say here in this moment? And they're like, yeah, which is a great question to start.
Am I not saying it? I thought I was. If it's not music or skits, I'm horrible at writing.
Yeah. So like, that's huge, because one, it doesn't take away my voice.
No.
But it does clean it up so that it communicates it more, like, you know, better.
You're writing your essays. I'm like, and she's like, articulate, use your diaphragm. You're like,
I am tossing. So I think I want to lean into the world where we have at least one or two of those people in our lives, whether we know it or not.
Yeah.
Right.
And you can ask people to read your stuff. You know, most people have time, you know, or at least will like check your pictures out and like, you know, hear your artist statement. Like, people have the time. I know asking for help sucks, but it's just like asking for money. And
so this podcast exists.
Like, yeah.
Ask for help.
Believing you are deserving for help, money, and all that jazz.
Yeah. Beyond our partners, I think it's also good to take when you are embarking on a world where grant money will assist you in creating what you envision, think about the people, your mentors or other artists who are within that world, who can speak about you and your work. You know, it's like, because oftentimes they'll ask you for like a reference letter.
Yeah.
So be prepared for that when it comes to applying for grants. It's
Give those people time to write that.
Yes.
They're probably
that's a great courtesy.
Working artists as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. Definitely the people who know you and can see your work. Those are the people you want to lean on for grants and for writing a letter recommendation.
Yeah. And I would say, last tip for me is, the more you put out there, the more you get back, right?
Totally.
And so what does that mean for me in my personal like daily life? It means when I see grants online, I usually think about like, okay, who are the community people that like I think are looking at my pages? Mm-hmm. Just a kind of a rough estimate, right? And I say, oh, this grant actually kind of reflects that. I'll like blanket just put it out there and just say like, here's an opportunity. And then I'll think of like two or three people who I think nail that.
Mm.
Or could nail it, and I send it to them directly. And I just vouch. I'm like, hey, I was thinking about you. Deadline's this time. Here's the award, and here's why I think you have fit that. So I'll just give them those three things to at least get them thinking about like, oh, I have that. Oh, that's me. If they don't apply, that's on them. But if at the end of the day they feel better about themselves and their art, then I think that itself is bountiful, right?
Yeah.
Like, oh, wow, someone else was thinking about me and like my art in that way. And it's a fellow artist.
Yeah.
Like, that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Double positive.
Double positive. Oh, I like that. Yeah. Double positive.
Yeah. I'm David Morales. You could follow me at David Morales and at Active Poet.
And I'm Tossy Alabastro at Tossy Alabastro. And this has been.
Also, wait.
Oh,
you
wait, yeah.
Also follow this guy if you like
that's
his
right.
photography at.
Oh, on Instagram at the Modern Click Smith.
Yeah, I'm not the only person who's splitting themselves. And you can follow our podcast at
Art Time Job Podcast.
Yeah, reminding you to make time for your art.
Apply for those grants.
Yeah, apply.
I bet there's one that's live right now.
I bet.
That we can apply for. Let's check it out.
Let's check it out.